Aren't you thankful for the freedom we have to be here today? Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. Brother Ronnie's in the back for the children, children's church. Have several announcements that I'm going to make. I have several prayer requests. We're going to wait, and we're going to give those after the sermon today. I'm going to try my hardest to be as brief as possible, and we'll just try and give you what God's given us and pray that it would be a blessing today, that God would help us. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. You can stand one more time in honor of the reading of God's word. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. To be honest with you, I don't know why exactly I'm preaching this. I wanted to preach something maybe more uplifting, maybe more patriotic, maybe out of Psalms, the nation whose God is the Lord, or we could preach on something like that, but this is what the Lord's given us, and I've learned that you better just preach what God gives you, even if it don't make sense. So verse number 1, he says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up. For God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, Fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, had made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said to him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return therefore every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? I want to preach mainly out of verse number 15 this morning on nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house today. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd please help us. Lord, I know the hour is approaching this morning. God, I'll preach just as short or just as long as you'd have me to preach. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I won't say anything that you don't want me to say. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be upon us. Lord, I don't know why you've placed this on our hearts, but I pray that it would do your work today. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on nothing but the truth, mainly out of verse 15. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we have before us, in my opinion, one of the most interesting scenes in the history of the nation of Israel. I think that there are some great lessons of great importance that can be learned today by examining some of the great blunders that were made in this chapter, and also some of the great boldness that was manifested in this chapter. To be honest with you, there are more lessons than we could take the time to learn today here, but it is my purpose today to give you my best description of this chapter, and I really want the Word of God to speak for itself today and preach for itself. I want you to notice today in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, the scene or the episode in this chapter, it surrounds four different men whom God has chosen to put under his magnifying glass in his word so that we might examine and learn from them today. So I want to today give you the story that we find here, and I want to introduce you one by one to these four men that are found in this account. I don't know exactly where we'll go with this message, so I will be just as surprised as you are whenever we get there. But friend, I want to give you these men, this story, and I want us to open our hearts to what God would have us to say. I want to introduce you, number one, today, firstly, to a man by the name of Jehoshaphat inside this account in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I want to introduce you to King Jehoshaphat. Look in verse number one of this chapter. It says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance." Let me tell you a little bit briefly about Jehoshaphat today. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king to reign in the southern kingdom of Judah after the great division that took place in the kingdom of Israel. Who all remembers learning about in history? America's civil war, right, in the 1800s. Israel had something like that, except they stayed separated for many years, the southern kingdom and the northern. And Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Jehoshaphat was also the fifth generation in the lineage of King David. He was the great, 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 great grandson of King David. That was Jehoshaphat. Not only was he of the lineage of David, but spiritually, the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat was a king that walked in the ways of David, his father. If you look in the last chapter, in chapter 17, in verse number 3, it says that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. It says that he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments. We're told in chapter 17 in verse number 5, it says, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand." We're told in chapter 17 verse 6 that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. If you look in chapter 17 verse 7, 8, and 9, you'll find that Jehoshaphat took all of the princes and he took all of the Levites, and it says that he sent them out all into the nation of Judah to teach the book of the law of the Lord. This was a man that loved God. This was a man that served God. This was a man that taught the word of God to his people, and God built him up for that. It says that the fear of the Lord fell upon the enemies around about them, and the Philistines even paid tribute unto them. Friend, that really brings to mind the verse today, Psalms 33, verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Jehoshaphat was a king that loved God and served God. And friend, God blessed him greatly because of his his love and his reverence for God. Friend, you want to know today why we live in such a great nation, why we have freedoms that we have today, because we had some generations before us. I'm not even talking about presidents or government. I'm talking about people and churches and families that loved God and served God and feared God and taught God's word. And God blesses those who treat him as the Lord that he is. Sad to say, we're experiencing many blessings in our nations, not because of what we've done, but because of those before us. Friend, as long as we keep going in the way that we're going today as a nation, I don't know how much longer God is going to extend those blessings. But friend, we serve a gracious and a merciful God. Jehoshaphat was a man that walked in the ways of God. But friend, I want you to notice today in chapter 18, verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. I want to introduce you today to the second man in the spotlight of this story, and that was a man by the name of Ahab. Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom, but Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and Ahab was exactly the opposite of Jehoshaphat. Friend, Jehoshaphat was one of the most righteous kings in the history of Israel, and Ahab was one of the most, if not the single most, wicked king in the history of the nation of Israel. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30 that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It says that he took to wife Jezebel and went and served Baal and worshipped him. We are told that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. We are told in 1 Kings 21 that Ahab did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Friend, Ahab was so wicked. There came a day in 1 Kings chapter 21 that Ahab had actually just murdered an innocent man by the name of Naboth. Ahab and his wife Jezebel had murdered him so that they might gain some real estate from him. That was all that they murdered him for, was for his land. And there was a day after that, the same day that God spoke to Ahab by the mouth of Elijah, and he said, the same place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, there's coming a day when you are going to die and the dogs are going to lick your blood up from the ground in the very place that they did this innocent man that you killed. God told Jezebel there would be a day when dogs would eat her flesh and there would be nothing left of her except for the palms of her hands. What I'm trying to say is Ahab was a wicked man. Ahab was not only a wicked man, but I want you to understand that he was a doomed man. Ahab was a man on whom God had placed a mark of judgment, and God had made an appointment for Ahab with the dogs and with death. Friend, Ahab was a wicked man. Ahab was a doomed man. But here we find Jehoshaphat has joined affinity with Ahab. Friend, there has been allegiance that has been made, an alliance that has been made. And friend, all I can say is, what was Jehoshaphat thinking? What was Jehoshaphat doing? What good could Jehoshaphat get from such a bad man as Ahab was? And yet here he was, he had joined an alliance to him. Friend, I don't know if we're getting anything else out of this other than this today. Friend, we live in a nation who is founded upon these words, and God we trust. But friend, I'm afraid today, in many ways, we have locked hands with Ahab for one reason or another. It don't make sense. Friend, paganism and sin did not bless this country. Friend, industry did not make us what we are today. Friend, the only reason we stand here living in a free nation is because God has shown us favor. Friend, Ahab never did anything for you. Ahab never did anything for our nation. But friend, for one reason or another, we have locked hands with sin. We have locked hands with idolatry. We have locked hands with paganism. And friend, it is ruining our country today. Is that right or is that wrong? Hey, we're celebrating Independence Day, but we're living dependent upon the devil today. He locked hands with Ahab. He says that he joined affinity. Why did they make an alliance? They made an alliance through marriage. Affinity was an alliance of kings by marriage. We know that back in those days, it was not the ones that were married, but it was their parents before them that arranged the marriage. There was a marriage arranged by Jehoshaphat. His son Jehoram married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and he made them in-laws unto him. Friend Jehoshaphat, I don't know why he did this. Perhaps he arranged this marriage out of pride. Perhaps he arranged this marriage out of policy, trying to make some type of peace. But whatever he did it for, his alliance with the enemy led him down a dangerous road. Friend, this was the worst match that was ever made in the history of the nation of Israel. I want you to look in verse number 2 today. He said, "And after certain years he went down to Ahab." Friend, can I say a time out right now? Friend, for you Christians that are here today, you young people here today, friend, some of you are struggling, and some of you are entering and have entered into relationships with people or things that is simply not right in the eyes of God, and you know that you're lining up with people that don't love God. You know that you're lining up with people that are actually doomed unto judgment because they reject God. Friend, you can stand here today and try and tell me that they don't affect you or they don't influence you. But friend, I want you to know that if you make those alliances, there's coming a day in your life, I don't know when, but you will get down on their level if you align yourself with them. Friend, he said that after certain years, he went down unto Ahab. Friend, I don't know how long it took. He thought that he could hold strong with his alliance. But friend, there came a day whenever he crossed a line because of his compromise. Friend, it says that he went down unto Ahab, and it says in verse 2 that Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him. It says that he went down, and pretty much what happened is that Ahab made a big feast for Jehoshaphat. He killed oxen, he killed sheep. He made a great feast, and he began to entertain Jehoshaphat. Ahab was a very wily man. He had a very wily wife, and they made this feast for him to entertain him, to butter him up, to fill his head and his heart with flatteries. And then it says after this that Ahab persuaded him to go with him to Ramoth-Gilead. You say, what was going on? Ahab was feeding him, feasting with him, entertaining him, but it was all a show. Ahab was no friend of Jehoshaphat. Ahab had one goal in mind. This whole thing was probably a scheme hatched in the mind of Jezebel. He brought him down there, and he convinced him to go out to battle with him against Syria. Really, all that he wanted was the army of Jehoshaphat. Friend, can I say there are people today, friend, that will try and make you think that they care. Wicked people, the world today, will make you think that they're your friend. Friend, that they want what's best for you, that you guys are buddies. But friend, I want you to know that they don't really care about that. The devil don't care about being your friend. He simply wants to use you for what he wants to use you for. It says that he killed sheep and he killed oxen. I can't help but wonder, Brother Jerome, if he took those and he made sacrifices. I wonder if Ahab tried to get all churchy on Jehoshaphat. Don't you wonder? He said, I'll make some sacrifices unto the Lord God. Friend, just because people appear churchy today doesn't mean they've been saved by the blood of Christ. It doesn't mean they really love him or care about him. But friend, nevertheless, he got what he wanted. His act worked. In verse number 3, Jehoshaphat said, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people." Friend, I want you to notice number 1 today, a foolish pledge that was made. A foolish pledge. Jehoshaphat said, "I will go with you." In chapter 17, verse 1, it says that before this, that Jehoshaphat had actually strengthened himself against Israel. It says in chapter 17, verse number 4, that Jehoshaphat would not walk in the ways of Israel. But now he's friends with Israel, now he's feasting with Israel, and now he's fighting with and for Israel. What a change that took place when he compromised with the enemy. And now Jehoshaphat was going into battle with a man whom God had destined for judgment. You better be careful aligning yourself up with people that God has destined for judgment today. I want you to notice number two, not only the foolish pledge, I want you to notice the false prophecy. Jehoshaphat did still have enough sense in his head. He said, how about we seek God's will about this? How about we get together somebody that will tell us the word of the Lord? Friend, I think that Ahab's wheels had already been turning. I think that Ahab had already prepared for Jehoshaphat's request. He said, no problem. I've got 400 men right over here in this room. I went ahead and gathered them up. I knew that you would ask. So let me bring them out and see what they say. Friend, these 400 prophets of Ahab, they began to say, Oh yes, go up to Ramoth Gilead, fight against them. God is going to give you success. Friend, can I say today that this was a false prophecy? Friend, these were prophets, I believe, that were on Ahab's payroll. Friend, these were prophets that had been bought with the blood money of Ahab and Jezebel. And I think that the only thing they were interested in saying was the thing that would please the ears of Ahab and Jezebel. Friend, can I say today that I believe we've got too many preachers on the payroll of the world today. Friend, I think we've got a lot of so-called preachers that will say whatever the world wants to hear. Friend, I think there's a lot of people that would rather say whatever it takes to boost up their numbers, to boost up their popularity, to boost up their offerings. Friend, I want you to know I believe today in many ways the mouth of truth has been muted due to ungodly preachers today. God help our nation and give us some men that are not afraid to say what may hurt your feelings today. Friend, we need some people that will tell us exactly the shape that we're in, not tell us a lie, not tell us what we want to hear. Friend, you want to know the truth today? We should be begging and pleading for the mercy of God upon our nation today. Friend, yes, God bless America, but friend, America needs to bless God. Friend, there needs to be a repenting and turning away from our sins today and asking him to help us, because if we're not careful, we're headed for judgment today. Yeah, I can tell you what you want to hear, but I'll tell you this, it won't help you because you know it isn't true. You know why Jehoshaphat knew? Jehoshaphat said in verse number 6, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? I think Ahab probably said, well, I've got 400 of them. How many do you need? He said, one more. You got anybody else? Friend, you know what I've got to say to a lot of the so-called preachers we have in America today? You got anybody else that can tell us what God says? Friend, the tele-evangelists today, all I say to them, is there anybody else that will really tell us what we need to know today? He said, there is one guy. There's one guy. And I introduced to you the third man in this story. There's Jehoshaphat, there's Ahab, and there's a man by the name of Micaiah. He said, there's one guy that I know about, only one. But I hate him. I hate his guts. I wish that he'd rot in the grave. If he died today, I'd bury him. I'd unbury him just to kill him again. I hate him because he only tells me evil. He doesn't tell me good. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Go get him. Go get him. I want to hear what he has to say. And it says they sent and they fetched him quickly. Notice number one, a foolish pledge. Notice number two, a false prophecy. But notice number three, a faithful preacher. Aren't you thankful today that there are some faithful preachers in our nation today that will tell us the word of God, thus saith the Lord. I was privileged to attend at least three, four meetings this week. I was privileged to hear Brother Marcus and Brother Cody Roberts and others. And I was thankful to hear some faithful preachers that preach God's word, no matter what anybody thought. Friend, we need some Christians today that will be faithful to declare what God says, even if everybody hates them for it. One man said the problem with preachers today is nobody hates them. The problem with preachers today is nobody's trying to kill them. I don't know why I'm preaching on preaching, but it's just where we are today. Look with me in verse number 9. I find a foolish pledge, I find a false prophecy, I find a faithful preacher, then I find a flattery parade. Look in verse number 9. While they went to go get the preacher man, all the prophets, the false prophets, they just continued on. They started a flattery parade. You ever seen one of those? A flattery parade. They just kept on. Forget about that guy. We all know what he's going to say. Listen to us. You're going to be okay. God's going to prosper. And then there was a man. He did well above and beyond all the other false prophets. I introduced to you the fourth man by the name of Zedekiah. This was a false prophet. He was going to get in good with the king. He went out and he had them made some great horns of iron. I imagine like bull's horns. Something big and huge, bigger than what you got on your grandma's Cadillac, right? He went out, and I imagine him putting up to his head and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, you'll go out and you'll put Syria, and they shall be consumed." You know what that was? That was a bunch of hogwash. That was absolutely false. But boy, he made it look good, didn't he? Couldn't you imagine him probably preaching louder than I am? Probably yelling just as loud. Making a big show, all the prophets screaming him on, the king sitting there in his robes, and he said, "You're going to go out and defeat the enemy. Thus saith the Lord." The Lord had not said a word to him. The Lord had not said a word to him. Ahab had already been told God's word many years before that, and that was this, that he was going to die and the dogs were going to lick his blood. Nowhere did God say he was going to deliver the Syrians into his hands. Friend, nowhere did God promise him. Friend, I want to say today that we ought to be careful to say God's going to prosper some things that he's already announced judgment on. And then we find what's amazing to me, to take a pause. In verse number 10, it says, verse number 9, I believe, that Jehoshaphat and Ahab were there in their kingly robes, and they were sitting. All the prophets were prophesying. Jehoshaphat, once there was a day when he would have had nothing to do with that, but now he was walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then he was standing in the way of sinners, and now he's literally sitting in the seat of the scornful. He had done everything that he never thought that he would do. While we're looking at this scene, you can just watch the downfall of Jehoshaphat. He's serving God. He's teaching God's word. He is not aligning up with Israel. Then one compromise is made. After that compromise, he's sitting down and talking with the enemy, with the ungodly. Then he's convinced to fight with them. Then he's sitting there, and he's listening to the false prophecies. You'd be surprised what you'll do when you make compromise with the world. And then at this point, they finally find the man of God. Verse number 12. The messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. If you know what's best for you, just tell him what he wants to hear." At this point, they needed a real man of God. At this point, they were in such a mess, they needed somebody to tell them the truth and nothing but the truth. They needed somebody that wasn't afraid to hurt Ahab's evil feelings. They needed somebody that was not afraid to contradict 400 prophets. They needed somebody that was not afraid to warn Jehoshaphat. They needed somebody that was not afraid to be put in prison or to be persecuted. They needed a preacher that was not going to be bought. They needed a preacher that was not for sale. You know what we need today? We need some Christians that are not for sale, that cannot be bribed by the world today. Can I get an amen today? We need some Christians that will be steadfast in our nation. I notice number 5, we see a foolish pledge, we find false prophecy, we find a faithful preacher, we find a flattery parade, now we find a fearful promise. This is just an interesting scene to me. Micaiah is retrieved by the servant. He says, "If you know what's good for you, tell him what he wants to hear." And he said, "I'll only say one thing, and that's what God tells me to say." Then when he gets there, he says, "Go out and prosper. God's going to give you the victory." Couldn't you imagine his face when he said it? Probably just as flat effect as could be. Go out, God will prosper you. Is that all you want to hear? I'm walking away. And Ahab looked at him, and you know what? Ahab knew that was not the truth. As much as Ahab wanted to hear something that was good for him, he looked at Micaiah and said, "How many times shall I adjure thee that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And I think Micaiah turned right around, stood up, and said, "You want me to tell you what God has told me? Let me tell you what he said. I have seen Israel as sheep scattered without a shepherd and having no master." In other words, when you go out there, you're going to die, and they'll be left without a shepherd and without a master. And if you know what's best for you, you better let them go home today, because God has pronounced judgment upon you. I think at that very moment, every word that Elijah had spoke to him many years before came flooding into his mind. I think the dogs licking up the blood of Naboth rushed into his mind. Friend, he knew that what he was saying was true, but he looked at Jehoshaphat and said, "Did not I tell you he would only tell me evil?" Isn't it amazing that he knew what he was saying was the truth, but he'd rather plug his ears to the truth and listen to a lie just to make him feel better before he faced judgment? Boy, ain't that like us today. That's like the world today. Friend, why do we plug our ears to the truth when we know it's the truth? There's something about the truth. It just testifies for itself, don't it? Ahab preferred flattering windbags over a faithful warning. Then we find a fatal presumption. We'll be done. A fatal presumption. He was confident in his prophets and his assumption, and he went out anyway. What's sad is it didn't really end like that. First, what happened is Micaiah, he said, not only are you going to be scattered, but he called out every one of the prophets and said, "These have a lying spirit." And God sent the lying spirit through them to deceive you into being judged. He called them all liars. That Zedekiah who made the horns, he walked up to him in the sight of the kings and slapped him, beat him across the face. He said, "Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to thee?" Micaiah looked at him and said, "You'll know." You'll know when you hide in your inner chamber on that day. In other words, when we lose and the Syrians come, you'll know. Ahab had him taken and put in prison, and he fed him the bread and water of affliction. He said, "You stay there until I come back." That's what he got for preaching God's word. And you know what's sad to me? I'm keeping my eye on Jehoshaphat the whole time. Here he is. Friend, listen to me very carefully. You Jehoshaphats today, you Christians that do love the Lord, but you've made a wrong alliance with the world today, you cannot get into a situation like that with sinners and go in their path, and you cannot get there and walk away guiltless. You hear me? Jehoshaphat maybe went home and said, I didn't really do anything, but friend, he had done so much. It actually wasn't what he did do, it's what he didn't do. He was aligned with the king, then feasting with the king, then fighting with the king. Then the king says, "I hate that man of God." He barely even rebuked him. Then that other prophet beat him across the face, and Jehoshaphat didn't say a word. Ahab put that prophet in prison, and Jehoshaphat didn't say a thing. He just kept on going, ignoring what he saw. Friend, he was as guilty as Ahab was. And friend, we better be careful today as Christians when we get into those scenarios and we align ourselves with the worldliness of this world that we live in, the sin of this world. We're guilty by association. You cannot walk away. And friend, that prophet was put in prison. He was eating bread of affliction, moldy, cold, nasty bread. He was drinking muddy, gross, contaminated water down in some dark, cold prison. But while he was locked up there, the words that he had spoken by God, they were not locked up. And everything that he said came to pass that day. Friend, Ahab went out to battle. Just to finish the story with you, Ahab went out to battle with Jehoshaphat. What a good friend he was. He said, "Jehoshaphat, stay in your robes, your kingly garments. I'm going to disguise myself in armor of a normal old soldier." He not only was trying to disguise himself, he was literally using Jehoshaphat as a decoy, hoping that he would be killed instead of him. And he went out and hung out in the back of the battle area. He used every trick that he knew, all the wiles that he could think up. He disguised himself. He tried to outsmart God. But friend, he could not outsmart God. He could not hide from God. He could not flatter God. He could not influence God. God allowed one man to release an arrow from his bow, and that arrow flew through the air and found its way right into the armor, in between the armor of Ahab, and it wounded him there. He said, I am wounded. They took him back that day, and that very day at sunset he died, and the dogs licked his blood, right in the same place that Naboth had died, and they had licked his blood. Friend, no art of Ahab, no arm of Ahab could save him whom God had appointed to ruin. Let me ask you a question. Who can hurt those whom God will protect, and who can protect those whom God will destroy? If you're on the wrong side of God this morning and you've not trusted him as your Savior, friend, you're in the same boat as Ahab. God's appointed unto you judgment. If you've not received his son Jesus Christ, maybe you're in the boat like Jehoshaphat. You've been saved. You're serving God. Maybe you need somebody to tell you better watch where you're walking as a Christian. Don't go down that same path with those that have rejected God. Don't become guilty by association. Friend, I don't know why in the world we've looked at this story today. But friend, I think there's somebody in some way needs to hear something that was said today. Which side are we on right now, Jehoshaphat or Ahab? Have we joined together with the world? Look at me today. Where are you? Boy, we need some true prophets. Isn't it funny? Gives us two kings that made a compromise and two prophets that had a conflict. We need some Jehoshaphats and we need some Micaiahs today. Our nation needs them. We need it. We need it. Our nation needs a church that will be willing to serve him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today? Musicians are making their way forward. I want to ask you today, as serious as I can, maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. I want you to know that all of us, as bad as Ahab was, we're deserving of the same judgment as Ahab. All of us, including the preacher right here. And God will judge us unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know something. God loves you and God has made a way for you to be saved. God took every bit of wrath and he placed it upon his son. Jesus Christ became our substitute. And now it's up to you today. You can either accept Christ and what he's done, repent of your sins, and ask God to save you. Or you don't. Maybe you're here and you say, Revis, I've never been saved. I want to ask you, maybe you're here and you've not been saved. When you say, Revis, I just want to raise up my hand while nobody's looking. And I want to ask you to pray for me, because that's me. I'm not saved. I know I'm not. Is there anybody like that? Maybe you're here today and you say, Revis, I am saved. But I want God to let me be like that Micaiah. I want to speak the truth and nothing but. I don't want to line up with the world like Jehoshaphat. I want to stay right on line with God's word. Maybe you'd like to come down to these altars right now. Boy, I ask you to do that. Be obedient unto God's will. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Lord, I pray you please help us. You gave us this message. We preached it. God, I pray you'd use it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing? These altars are open today.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how
him today.
Jesus.